Come on and give Jesus some praise. If you believe, can't nobody do you like Jesus. I heard somebody say, can't nobody do me like the Lord. Come on and give God some praise in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's wonderful. He's worthy of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The psalmist said, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, our God is worthy. You might be seated on tonight. Give the Lord another big hand clap as you be seated. Praise the Lord. We do thank the Lord tonight, and we do give honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the head of our life. And without him, I know where I would be. You know, some people say, I don't know where I would be without the Lord. I know where I would be. Praise the Lord. I thank God for saving me, delivering me, and giving me a mind to want to serve him. There's nothing better than serving the Lord. I've done it all. I've been out there and doing what Steph Curry and them doing tonight, I did that. Playing college basketball and basketball scholarship and having everybody cheering for you and all that. Then going total opposite, out there selling drugs. Came to a point to where everybody in the town looked to me to supply them. And so I know what it feels like to be out there in a mess. Had a gun put to my head, laid down on the ground, stole all my money, could have shot me and killed me, but God spared my life. Praise the Lord. You know, some people, they come to church and they act like they don't have a reason to give God praise. All I got to do is inhale and exhale. Think about my life. Been incarcerated 2 times, but God delivered me and gave me a new life, a new mind, a new thought, new desire. Can anybody tell me what God can't do? Nobody can't tell me what God won't do. All things are possible to them that believe. God can change your world around. Remember one time I was out of my mind, you know, when you're out there and influenced by other things. And I was getting off on the highway. You know how you exit off? You're getting on the highway. And when I exited off, I didn't realize that I was going on the ramp that people would come off the highway. So I'm going into oncoming traffic. And just so happened, it was late at night and nobody was on the road. And so I was able to get on the highway and before I know it, I seen lights coming. I'm on the interstate, and I'm on the highway driving. And not knowing I'm out of my mind, all of a sudden that car just spun around and started going in the same direction as the cars that was coming my way. You can't tell me what God won't do. He's a mighty good God. You know why he done that? He knew that he had a call on my life. The devil tried to kill me several times, but God, he been merciful. And some of y'all have some of the same testimony of what God has done. Who wouldn't serve a God like this? Who wouldn't give a God like this honor? Who wouldn't worship a God like this? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I was out there a terrible father to my children. You know, just because you can clothe them, don't mean nothing. But the example that I was to them was horrible. But then God changed my life. Now both of my daughters saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And one of them called me, she said, Dad, you won't believe it. I spoke in tongues the other day. I said, God bless you. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. I want to say I thank God for this great woman of God, the pastor of this house, Pastor Celeste Davis. Let's give her a big hand. And God prompt me tonight or somewhere during this time, God got a word for you, Sister Davis. I said, God got a word for you. Praise the Lord. God got a word for you. Praise the Lord. And I come here just to be an encouragement tonight. And it don't bother me. It's a small crowd that don't never move me. If Philip can preach to thousands and God pick him up and carry him to one eunuch and preach with the same fervency, I believe we ought to be able to do the same thing. And it's not about how many is sitting in the audience. It's about those that are willing to receive what God has. And that's what really matters. And so we do thank God for you coming out tonight, those that have come from Sparta, Road to Life Church, 402 East Mound Street, 62286, Sparta, Illinois. Road to Life Assistant Pastor, Brother Charles, we thank God for him. Thank God for Brother Freddie Spinks, Brother Preston Nance, these brothers, Brother Justin McGill, we thank God for them. And, of course, Brother Justin's little daughter, we can't leave her out. Praise the Lord. All the saints, Brother Al, we love you. We thank God for him. And to the sister in the back who is asleep at the light, we're going to pray that the Holy Ghost go with you home. But you know what? There's a blessing in your presence. There is. You know, everybody, I heard people saying they tired tonight. We all are in our bodies. But, you know, when you press your way, God going to bless you. If you make up your mind, I'm going to strive to enter in. Somebody else decided I'm going to go home and go to sleep. Or like Brother Al was saying, I'm going to watch the basketball game. But when you make up in your mind, I got to get to church. I got to get to the house of God. I just don't believe God will send us away hungry. I believe he's going to fill our soul tonight. God going to give us what we need. How many came ready to receive what God has for you? Praise the Lord. That's what I came here for. I didn't come here just to look at you, but I come here to look to Jesus. I believe God got a blessing for me tonight. God got a healing in this room. God got a miracle in this room. God got deliverance in this room. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst. And if God is in the midst, there's deliverance in the midst. There's freedom in the midst. Where God is, the Bible said the power of God was present to heal. Praise the Lord. So we got three services here, and we want to encourage you to invite someone else out on tomorrow. But tonight, we're going to go right into the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, man, that was some good singing. Brother Al said, thanks. I was talking about it. But Brother Al, you did good too. The Book of Lamentations. But you got a beautiful voice. God anoints you, use you. Praise the Lord. You too, Brother Al. You got Lamentations chapter 3. Bible just said make a joyful noise. And all of our singing is a sweet melody in the ears of the Lord. How many know that's the truth? Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22 and verse 23. You have it, say amen. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. 23, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Thank you, Jesus. That makes me want to shout. Yes. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, and we'll start at verse 17. Hebrews 6 and 17. Wherein, you know, let's start at verse 13. That'll be better. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely blessings I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. If we can also, I'd like to read in Hebrews chapter 13. Chapter 13 and 1 verse here. 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we love you tonight. We honor you. We praise you. We magnify your holy name. God, what a privilege it is to be called saints and Christians, to be chosen, God, and to be tugged on by you. Lord, for you to draw us by your Spirit, I thank you for it. God, I don't take it lightly, the privilege of being able to come to the house of God. Lord, you're the King, and to be able to come before God, a King, is something to be, Lord, praised, honored, to glorify your name for. Lord, I thank you for drawing us to this spot tonight to hear your voice, to hear your word. God, I ask you to anoint me tonight. Make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer. Use me for your glory, for your honor, for your praise. God, I'm not here for pretense, form, fashion, and formality. God, just to say we came to another service. But Lord, we need you tonight. We need your word tonight. We need your truth tonight, God. Speak, God, to us, your people. And we give you praise and honor for it. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe tonight, if you'll give me just a little time, I'll be able to give out what God has given me to help us all. I want to talk about the unchangeable God. The unchangeable. And the Lord began to deal with me and really encouraged my heart. I prayed about what to preach here. You know, I don't come to a church and try to preach what I preached in Sparta. I try to find out what is the mind of God for each church. And the Lord began to talk about his faithfulness to me. And I want to give you a couple definitions. I know you might be a little tired in your body. I'm not going to hold you a long time. Y'all bear with me. First, I want to give you the definition of immutability. This definition means that not having the ability to change, to sustain, to continue, to be the same. Now, the sameness of God is not what we think, because he's from everlasting to everlasting. He's eternal. He stands outside of time. He doesn't have, it's not in him, that ability to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was God in the beginning, and he'll be God at the end. He don't change. His power don't change. His ability to heal does not change. See, sometimes we think because we don't see the same miracles that we read about, that for some reason God's power has lessened in this day. God is God, and he always will be God. He still is saving, delivering. He's still making ways out of no way. Even if you might not think God is doing it, God is doing it somewhere. Even the man Elijah, who thought he knew so much about God, he thought he was left alone. He said, I alone am left. He said, you don't know who I am, do you? After all these miracles I've done through you, after I used you like I did, you still don't know who I am. He said, I got 7,000 reserved, Elijah. God still got some reservists in this hour. In other words, God still got some people who believe the Bible, who believe what the word says, that he don't change. So God gave me that definition. Then I looked up the word counsel. It means, in the scriptural sense, purpose, design, will, or decree. And so we talk about the immutability of his purpose, his decree, which means his purpose does not change. What God says, his decree does not change. Well, I'm going to try to help you out tonight. I'm going to take my time. In other words, if God told you your children going to be saved, that's a decree. It don't matter if they're on crack. It don't matter if they're drug addicts, drunk, prostitutes. If God made a decree, it don't matter how they acted up, God gonna get them somehow. The Bible said, the promise is unto you and your children and them that are far, as many as the Lord thy God should call. So if God promised you something, if God made a decree and told you, Sister Davis, it's gonna happen, then it's gonna happen. God don't lie. He can't lie. It ain't even in him to lie. So if God spoke a word, you might say, well, it ain't happened yet. Hold on to that word. Believe God, what he told you is going to come to pass just like he said it. We just got to believe it. So the Lord began to share with me. He said, my holiness, my righteousness, my expectation of you and the church, it did not change. Just because over a period of years, people have let down their standard of holiness. Just because people have come into church now and everything goes, as my father said, you can steal a horse and ride it into heaven. You can come into church and still live a worldly life, and people are gonna say you're saved. You call light darkness and darkness light. He said, just because the church has changed, I have not changed. My expectation of the church is still the same. What has to happen, the church has to get back in line with God. God don't have to get in line with the church. God is forever settled. His word is forever settled. It don't change. His word is going to be the same regardless of whether we want it to be or not. God still got expectation for his people. So his counsel is immutable, unchanging. So the Lord began to show me. He said, I don't change. He said, you and the people in the church, he said, you varied from my pattern. You varied from my ways. See, the Bible says his ways are not our ways. And see, sometimes we wonder, oh, why is this not happening? And God, why is these things not happening like we think they should? We got away from his ways. And God ain't gonna, God is not gonna say, well, I love you so much, Brother Al, that I'm gonna step off of where I am right now and come down and do things like you want. No, I'm gonna stay right here, whether you like it or not. Yes, I still love you, but if I gotta get down to 8 souls that will serve me, then that's what I'm gonna do. But I'm not gonna change for you. I'm not gonna change for a prophet, apostle, no matter who it is. God told me that I'm gonna stay the same. You better come up here where I am. You better serve me in the right way. So the Lord don't change. The Bible said, if we believe not, yet he, in 2 Timothy 2 and 13, abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He stays faithful to not you, but to his word. And long as you stand on his word, his faithfulness is toward you. See, some of us think that God is just looking at us because we think we're so good. We think we got it all together. Well, if God would really open you up and allow you to see your wretched, miserable ways, how the things that you do every day. See, so we use each other's backs as stepping stones. You know, I'm better than him, and I prayed longer than him, and I came to church more times than her. And so we use that as a measuring stick, if you will, to show us how great we are. But the truth be told, you still got some mess in you. You still got some stuff in you that God need to work out of you. Because if you're doubting right now, that's some mess in you. The Bible said everything that is not of faith is sin. So if we're not believing God, that's a sin in itself. And all sin will take you to the same place. So he is faithful to his word. He told Abraham, he said, look here, Abraham, I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to give you a promise. And it don't matter how long it takes. It's going to come to pass. It might not look like it's going to happen, but because God is so faithful to his word, he got to make it happen. You see, the womb might be dead. Your body might be dead. You might be getting a little tired in your old age. But if God promised you something, if God got to renew your strength like the eagle, if God got to give you what you need to finish the work that God gave you, God going to do that for you. Why? Because God is faithful to the word. Not one word, not one word, not one word of all of his good promises has ever failed. God told you, you got to believe it. You know, the old saint sang a song. It said, I believe I'll run on to see what the end is going to be. The theology was a little messed up. You know, because they said, I believe I'll run on to see what the end is going to be. Well, when you know this faithful God and who he is, you don't have, come on, Sister Davis. You don't have to say, I'm going to run on and see what the end going to be. I already know what the end going to be. He already done showed it to me. The Bible said, what did Paul told us? He said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered to the heart the great things that God has in store for them that love him, but is revealed unto them by the Spirit. See, when you seeking God, you ain't got to run on to see what the end going to be. God already told you what the end going to be. He already gave you his promise. He already told you what he's going to do in your life. He said, I know in Jeremiah, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not evil to give you an expected end. What does that mean? Can I work just a little bit tonight? To give you an expected end. That just means that when I came here to church tonight, I got an expectation. See, some of us, we come to church and we say, well, it's a Friday night, I'm tired in my body and not very people going to be here. But I'm here to tell you, if you got an expectation tonight, God going to meet your expectation. He said, I'm going to give you an expected end. I'm like Brother Al. I didn't drive an hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours to get here to church tonight and leave here the same way I came. If you came to church tonight, you got to believe God going to give you what you came here for. If you need healing, that's what God gonna give you. If you need a boost in your spirit, that's what God gonna give you. You can expect this faithful God to give you what you need. Why? He's faithful to his word. He's watching over his word to perform it. He gonna make sure his word is performed, and you don't have to run on to see what the end gonna be. You already know what the end is. What is the end of the matter? The end of the matter is, let the weak say that I'm stronger. Let the sick say that I am well. See, when you know what the end gonna be, you might be going through in your body, but the end has already told you by whose stripes you are healed. You might be going through a little depression in your mind and fighting and battling, but the Bible already done told you he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. We got to believe what God told us. The Bible said he was more willing more abundantly to show the heirs of the promise. Are you an heir? I'm an heir, and I'm a joint heir. See, sometimes we need to slow down and let this thing simmer a little while. We need to think about it a little while. What does it mean I'm an heir? If you're an heir to something, that thing that you're an heir is rightfully yours. And if it belongs to you, can't nobody stop you from getting it. I'm an heir of what God told me. I'm an heir of what God said to me. See, but we go around worried about what's going on in the White House, or what's going on in the school system, what's going on in the government. But my Bible said in the book of Isaiah, the government shall be upon his shoulders. I got a government that's not of this world. I'm not worried about it. Let the stock market collapse. Let everything go haywire. But God's going to make sure he takes care of us. Why? He's faithful to his word. God done said it. He got to do what he said he's going to do. Everybody worried about, well, what's going on? What's happening all around us? Man, this stuff already been spoken of. But the same way he promised and said all this turmoil, all this disaster was going to happen, he also promised, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I would hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Just like he took care of them in the land of Goshen, he's going to take care of me and you. I ain't worried about it. If he took care of Daniel in the lion's den, he's going to take care of me. If he took care of the Hebrew boy, he's going to take care of us. God is faithful to what he said. I told the Lord, show me. He said, you worried too much about who's coming and how many going to come. He said, you need to worry about who's there already. He said, that's what you need to be concerned about. He said, I know how to draw. He add to the church daily such as should be saved. You know, Sister Davis, God told me, he said, you need to start feeding the flock to whom I've given you to be overseer. And maybe I just gave you these few for right now. That's what you need to be worried about. He said, I'll add to it as I see fit. See, sometimes we want to do God's job. We want to act like God ain't in heaven doing what he want to do. Ain't nothing caught God off guard. God ain't sitting up in heaven said, I wonder why. I hear you, sister, not even a little bit. He ain't twiddled his thumbs not one day. He ain't run around here and said, I wonder what's going on. Everything done is by the counsel of his will. He got it all mapped out. It's already been done. See, God ain't worried about what we worry about. We need to get on the page that God's on. Somebody look at somebody and say, turn the page. Get on God's page. That's the problem. We way behind. God is 10 chapters ahead of us. We need to get on God's page. Get where God is at. Get back in the place God is. See, the devil have us all worried. What's going on? Look at all the people ain't here. All the people is here. All the people God wanted. You said all the people are here. Yes, it is. All the people God wanted. See, we got to understand, God, did this thing catch God off guard? Sunday morning when you come to church, people that don't come, you say, well, that didn't catch God off guard. God knew who was going to be here. He knew what we needed. And for those that came, God said, I'm going to give you what you need so you can go and share it with somebody else. And as I see fit, I will add to it because I'm faithful to my word. He's faithful. And the Bible said, by these two immutable things, that it was impossible. Man, that word impossible just means it can't happen. It was impossible for God to lie. So if God told you something, it's impossible for it not to come to pass. It's only way it won't come to pass is if you don't believe. But if you can somehow muster up enough faith to stand in agreement with God, how can two walk together except they be in agreement? But if you can walk in an agreement with God, it's going to happen just like God said it's going to happen. And I don't care how many people say, well, it don't look like it. It don't look like it's going to rain, Elijah. It don't look like it's going to rain. Well, you stay right where you at. Somewhere God going to send the rain. It might not look like it. All the forecasters could say. Channel 4, Channel 2, all of them. Take the helicopters, fly as high as they can. I mean, get all the different tools they got to get out. And they could say, it is not going to rain. If God says it's going to rain, it don't matter what they say. The Bible said, let God be true. And every man a lie. The doctor may say, well, it looks bad right now. It looks real bad. Did you see what it came back as? Looked like there was several spots here that look like you might need to get them cut out. And if you don't, look like you only got about 10 days left. You know how they tell you that? And then before you know it, fear done gripped you, and you worried, you running around, and I don't know, I got to get everything in order. I might not live long. If God kept you to this point, if God kept you alive to this point, God is able to take you even farther. God didn't bring you this far to leave you. He didn't heal you this many times just to let you go. He's God, and he's faithful. You know what I found out? I found out all I got to do is get in line with him. Times I done prayed, Lord, I don't have a job. Lord, you know, woe is me type thing. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make this money. I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills. I don't know how this is going to happen. God said, well, wait a minute now. How do you not know and you know me? You saying you don't know how, but you know me. Come on now, you got a direct line. You got a direct connection. All you got to do is call on me, and I will answer you. I don't know how. I'm the how. I'm the way. All you got to do is tap in to the way God will make sure it happens. Why? He's faithful. Look at somebody say he's faithful. The Bible said he showed his ways unto Moses. And his acts unto the children of men. He showed his ways. In other words, he said, I want you to know how I get things done, how I operate. He said, I'm going to show you my ways. He told Moses, see that you make all things according to the pattern that I showed you on the mount. Don't vary, don't change nothing. Because I don't change, you don't change nothing. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord and I change not. Don't you change the pattern of my ways. What happened to the church? See, long as we did it according to the pattern, he showed us his acts. Long as we did it according to his ways, he showed us the result of doing it according to his ways. Long as we were obedient, if you be willing and obedient, then you shall eat of the good of the land. Long as we were obedient, he showed us the acts of obedience. He showed us how he would respond to them that live right, that strive to walk upright, that pursue him with all their heart, that take him to cross daily, deny themselves and follow him, that pray without ceasing, that's often and fasting. He showed the acts of that, the results of it. But see, what happened is now God said, I'm going to show you my ways, Moses. Church, I'm going to show you my ways don't vary from the pattern. See, what happened, the acts are directly contingent upon the ways. And when we stop doing it the way he said do it, then we see the results done change. Why, God, are you not moving? Well, you're not doing what he said do. Why, God, are you not showing things like you did in the book of Acts? Well, are you tarrying in the upper room till you be endued with power from on high? Well, you got to get back to the ways. We're talking about what we want to see. We're talking about how we want God to move. But like Brother Al said, we can't be worried about Steph Curry and LeBron James. They ain't paying my bills. I can't be worried about what they're doing at the mall today. I can't be worried about what's going on. They have all these functioning festivals and everything going on. I can't be worried about all that stuff. I got to get back to the way God said do things. See, long as we like to appease our flesh. Well, I went to service on the other night, Lord. Lord, I was at the church. Yeah, you was there. Your mind wasn't, but you were. Your mind was in the kitchen thinking, Lord, that food, I need that food, Jesus. I need to hurry up and get home to that food. Your mind was at the mall. And it was at the basketball game. Our bodies be present, but our mind be somewhere else. You say, how do you know? Well, I'm just like you. You know, we could, and I'm not throwing off because I don't believe in that. But listen, isn't it amazing how we can get energy to do a lot of things? We can be dead tired. And had 4 hours of sleep. Somebody said, girl, don't you want to go? I sure do. All of a sudden, you done got your shopping clothes on. You know, me and two. All of a sudden, you get a little pep in your step. But we come to church. Oh, Jesus. I'm going up on the rough side. How come it's got to be the rough side all the time? How come it can't be? I'm here with joy unspeakable. I'm here. I'm happy to be here. Yeah, I thank God I made it to the house of God tonight. I thank God for the praise that's going on in the house. I thank God for what he's going to do tonight. See, when we have the wrong attitude, we're not delighting ourselves in the Lord. We don't come in with that mindset. I thank you, Jesus. It could have been another way. It could have been the other way, but I thank you for bringing me to the house. See, it's all in how we look at it. God ain't going to change who he is. He's going to remain faithful to you and to me. But you know what? It's a reciprocated thing. In other words, you got to give it back. He's not going to keep being faithful, but you don't be faithful. He ain't going to keep giving, but you won't give. I tell people all the time at Road to Life Church, I say, you know, I heard people get up and testify. They get up and testify. And when they get up, the first thing they say is, oh, and I mean with tears. Oh, he loves me. He loves me so much. I thank him for his love. Oh, he's just so caring. And this is the part that really gets me. It hits me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. I want to say, sit down, would you? Oh, he loves me. Even in my mess, he loves me. Anybody ever heard somebody testify? Even in my mess? You shouldn't even want to say that. You shouldn't even want to You shouldn't want to get up and tell people, even in your mess. Because, see, it should be my testimony is one that, Lord, I thank you for what you've done, and I'm striving to live right. I'm not trying to say how much you love me in my mess, because yes, you love me, but I'm going to show you how I can love you back. I'm going to show you how I can give it back to you. I don't just want to be you to be faithful to me, but I want to be faithful to you. I want to give it back to you. The Bible says in the book of Thessalonians, faithful is he that calleth you. Did God call you? The Bible said, faithful is he that calleth you, and he will do it. He didn't say what he will do, but he will do it. That's all Paul said. So you just put whatever you want him to do in there. Faithful is he that calleth you, and he will do it. He will heal you. He will deliver you. He will make a way out of no way. But you got to stay faithful to him. One of the worst things I've seen in the Christian walk, and I haven't been saved as long as Sister Davis, but I've been saved long enough to know this. When you going through a trial, and you going through a hard spot in your life, and the devil, he going to try to get you to stop being faithful to God. He going to try to get you to cut down on your prayer time, to stop reading your Bible. He going to get you to stop coming to church on time. Stop doing what you're supposed to do in the church. Before you know it, you're lagging out of church. Why? He's trying to mess with your faithfulness, because he knows if you can remain faithful to God, there's a blessing coming your way. He knows once you start backing up off of your faithfulness, that's what's stopping your blessing, because your blessing is contingent upon you being faithful. You got to remain faithful. And since faithfulness is an attribute, it's a fruit, it's a characteristic of God. It's something that we should have in us. It should be a part of our DNA, our spiritual DNA, our nature. The Lord told me, he said, son, just stay faithful. He said, because I ain't going to change my faithfulness. He said, you just stay faithful to me. He said, watch me work it out. Watch me change it. It might not look like it right now, sister, but it's going to happen. It don't have to look like it through these eyes. I'm walking by faith and not by sight. I'm walking by what God told me. God is still healing, delivering. He's still curing cancer. He's still taking tuberculosis out of the bodies of them. He's still causing withered hands to grow back, opening blinded eyes, causing the deaf to hear, the lame to walk. You said, I haven't seen it. I have. What did you say? I see it by faith. I see God still doing it. We had a young lady at the church. These brothers can testify to it. This young lady, her name is Sister Brittany. Her daughter, I'm not going to be for you much more longer, but her daughter came home. We had an awesome service one Sunday morning. I mean, God moved. And it's just like the devil to try to stamp out your faith. You know, One thing you could do, you could understand God's ways. All you got to do is read your Bible. He don't change. His pattern is the same. Well, the devil's is too. As sure as you're born, y'all come here on a Sunday morning, Sister Davis preached up a storm. Y'all, like the sister was doing, she run around the church. Then all of a sudden some other people get behind her running around the church. I know y'all done it. And before you know it, y'all shouting and jumping, and Sister Davis is screaming, and the Spirit of the Lord is here. One thing you could best for sure, you could bank on this. The devil going to try to do something as soon as you get home. And you know what? Let me say this, because y'all clapped your hands like y'all said, oh, yeah, that's the truth. How come then we act like it ain't true? We go home, and it act like it catches us off guard. What was that? Well, you know what's getting ready to happen. The Bible says you're not ignorant of the devil's devices. You know what he's going to do. As sure as you're born, God done blessed you. You might as well get ready for it. Gird up the loins of your mind. Get prepared for it. You know what's coming next. We got to be real fighters, real soldiers. We got to understand what's getting ready to happen. God don't leave us off guard, don't know what's happening. He makes it known to us that we won't be out there. You know, not knowing, ignorant, not understanding how the devil works, not understanding how God works. But the same faithfulness that God has shown throughout his word, he don't change. Well, we had an awesome service, and man, God moved so mightily. That young lady got home. Her daughter went outside and had this long metal piece of something. I don't know what it was, but it was on a string, and she was swinging it around.
My God.
And she kept swinging it, and it hit her in the eye, lodged in her eye. Eye was bleeding. The ambulance came, and the paramedic said, she's going to lose this eye. Had to drive about an hour to get to the Children's Hospital up in St. Louis. Got to the hospital, and the doctor said that she's going to lose this eye. The saints of God went into prayer. We got power, y'all. We got authority. See, can I tell you something, Lord? Help me to, I just got to say this. I'm going to tell you what done happened. There has been a, you know, Eve said it like this. When the devil came to Eve, he came to her in a religious way. He didn't come to her with some pitchfork, with crack cocaine, a bottle of beer, and saying, Eve, come on and get drunk with me. He came to her with a scripture twisted. He came to her showing her a different way of worship, a different way of being religious. See, that's how he still works. And now the church has gotten so caught up. Let's shout, let's run, let's praise. Praise is what I do. Praise is what I do. So everybody, that's all you got. All you got is people that's praising. They don't have no depth in the word. They don't have no understanding. So now when trouble comes, they can't stand it. They try to stay surface because they don't want to get into a place where they have to give up nothing. So he tricked the church. So now the church is just like the world, just going through the motions. Paul said having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. No real power to change lives. No real power to save, sanctify, to get sin out. So they just let people sit in the church demon-possessed. Send them to psychiatrists, psychologists. Now, ain't no devils being cast out no more. They got counselors all in the pews. They take them to a back room somewhere and counsel them, giving the 7 steps on how to be delivered from a demon. Used to be they cast the devil out. The devil didn't sit in the church. Man, people didn't sit in the church with a demon of smoking cigarettes and just keep on smoking them. Well, I know that's a little rough now. Yep. Drinking and carrying on and it was okay. No, that had to go. There was deliverance in the house of God. But now people, for the sake of filling the pews and keeping people appeased, you know, they have smokers' rooms. Anyway. This young lady had the thing in her eye, and the church began to pray. We began to call on the name of the Lord, and I felt led to go ahead and get up from prayer and start that Wednesday night service, or Sunday night service, rather. And, man, the service went up that night. I mean, just like that morning, I got the microphone. As soon as I got the microphone, you know, we just start praising God. Start praying. You know, you can't make that happen. I just want to throw that in there. You know, you can't get up here and try to make people get up and shout and run and jump and someone is speaking tongues. Everybody talking to spirit, talking to spirit. That's a bunch of mess. But it's going on everywhere. You get people so caught up in that. That's why they can't get anywhere with God. So he all right. So then this young lady had that in her eye, and this what happened. While we were praying, praising the Lord, all of a sudden, my sister Sharon was sitting in about 3 rows back. She was pointing at her phone, and she said, "This, you got to read this." And I said, You know, I'm thinking, we praising the Lord. I'm going to read this over. But she said, you got to read it. So she brought it up to me. The young ladies whose daughter had the thing in her eye texted her and said, the doctor said they could not believe what just happened. Pulled the thing out of her eye. No effects at all. The blood just dried up. She still got her eye. You can't even see a scar over her eye. It's like nothing ever happened. Now you tell me God ain't faithful. You tell me God don't, he's changed. Somebody said, well, we ain't seen miracles. I just seen a miracle. That is a sign. That is a wonder. God is still the same for people who believe it. He don't change. We just got to stand on the word of God. We got to stand on his promises. And you might say, well, what about this person? They didn't get it. Or this person. You don't look at who didn't get it. That don't produce faith. Look at who didn't get it. But you got to look at who did. And then those that didn't might get it. But the devil wants us to keep looking at everybody who didn't get it. You see the trick of the enemy. So in my close, I'm getting ready to close. Thank you, Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap. I want to read one scripture. I quoted it, but I want to read it. 1 Kings 8:56. And as you go on there, I want to throw this in there. The Lord share with me. Paul talked about in the last days how men would be covenant breakers. How many read that? Covenant breakers. And God is a covenant keeper. So we have the nature of God, correct? So if he's a covenant keeper, what should we be? Covenant keepers. But Paul said men would be covenant breakers. There is a spirit in the world right now, and that's the spirit, covenant breakers, truce breakers. Used to be a man's word was his bond. A handshake would do. If I told you I'm going to be there, I'm going to pay you back. If you could call on me, I'll help you. That was an agreement. And I didn't have to go get a lawyer and say, well, you said you're going to be there. Let's go get the lawyer and see if you could write this down and let's. No, it was just a handshake. I'll do it. But now that handshake don't mean nothing anymore. The word that you say to me, I mean, yours do, but now in the word, it don't mean nothing. Why? There's a spirit in the world. It's called covenant breaking. But see, in the Old Testament, and in all, if you read through the book of Hebrews, it's about God's covenant to man. And especially the Hebrew people, they understood what it meant to really have a covenant. People died when they broke covenant. They understood the significance of a covenant. If God said it, he got to do it. That's his covenant. That's his agreement to us. He ain't going to break that. Listen to the woman at Samaria, of Samaria who Jesus came to. Now, this woman had five husbands. And the one she had at home, Jesus said, he's not yours. She had more sense than most church folk got. She understood covenant so that she said, when Jesus said, begin to speak to her about worship and whatnot, she said, the Messiah's coming. When Messiah comes, he will tell us all things. In other words, he made a covenant that Messiah got to come. There's a promise. I know I ain't right, but I know he's coming. I know I ain't living right, but I know enough about the covenant that he got to send. Y'all see what I'm talking about? They believed it, so they knew he was coming. Now you ask people in the church, is he coming? I don't know. But see, they understood the impact of a promise. They understood if God said it, if God told you something, Brother Fred. Man, we don't have to get crazy. You know. Like that sets a seal on. like that you just praise him so hard that just set a seal on it. That put a stamp on it. Yeah, after you got done sweating, you still don't believe it. Oh, I know I'm preaching good now. After you got, I done seen it in the church everywhere. People done shouted, ran, and jumped, and still don't believe God after it's all said and done. That don't set a seal on the promise of God. Your faith is what sets a seal on it. You believe in what thus says the Lord. That's what sets a seal on. And faith don't come by shouting and jumping. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You don't have people that will sit and listen long enough to get it in them. So faith ain't produced. You got a generation that the devil has deceived. The teaching ministry has almost gone out of the church. Why? People ain't sitting still long enough. ADHD Christians. They can't sit still long enough, pay attention long enough. I'm talking about everywhere. God got to help me too. But it's hard now. People can't sit still long to receive enough word that faith might be produced. Even when you go read your Bible, notice how hard it is to really get in a good Bible study. Why? The devil trying to get you to a place where faith can't be produced. Because he knows once your hearing is open, faith cometh by. Hearing has to be opened by the word. The word opens up your hearing, and then hearing produces your faith. But you got to be able to sit still long enough to hear. So, let's read this 8:56. I'm going to close. I feel pretty good, though. I do. It's not often that I get to just, you know, you try, you want to be able to just take your time. You know, Jesus didn't get in no hurry. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Man, we've been deceived, y'all. How we define revival has been deceived. We think revival is shouting, jumping, running, and yelling. Man, they had revival, and I heard them call Jesus Rabbi, Teacher, Good Master. When he went and taught, he wasn't getting all up in the air and screaming and yelling. He was taking his time. That's what revival is. Revival is, I agree with Brother Al, revival will bring the sinners in. But you know what, before it bring them sinners in, revival is to bring that which once was alive back to life. Somebody who feel like they're falling away, don't have it like they should, it takes time to get you back. It ain't in it. That ain't gonna bring you back. I love doing that. Y'all see, I do it pretty good. Both feet, I do it. I can shout with the best of them. But that ain't gonna bring you back. You need somebody to get them, you know, the things they use. You need it done several times. It don't just happen on the first time. It takes time to get you back to life. You got to sit there and let somebody work on you. And once you come back, you still got to be revived. You still got to be restored. It takes time. It takes time. Man, 3 days of service ain't going to do it. That helps the initial process. But then it's a continual thing. Man, I done seen people go through a week of service, and man, oh, how great it was. Next week, though. And I just believe this. If God is the same, and the Holy Ghost is who he say he is, you can't lose it that quick. You can't go a week in services, and then the next week, all of a sudden, you done lost all the victory you had. That ain't how it used to be, was it, Sister Day? Man, I'm not, but I got saved at a good time. Back in the day, once you got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, that thing lasted. Man, it was weeks and months and years. You still was feeling it. Now the Holy Ghost people get now, it's a day or two, and they done lost it. They back out in the world, living like the world. What did happen? I tell you what did happen. The world that came into the church, and they living, the church is living a worldly lifestyle. They don't believe in God's faithfulness no more. They don't believe he's the same. He's still a saved the same, sanctified the same, delivered the same. Okay, let me go to this 856. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord that have given rest unto his people. That's a message in itself. The Bible once and told us we need to enter into that rest of God. He said, told us to be careful to make sure, get in a position that we might enter into his rest. Unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. Did God make you a promise? There hath not failed one word of not some, but all of his good promises. Not one word of his promises, all of them, has failed. We have to believe that. We got to hold onto that, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. He promised that to them, but we have better promises now. We have a promise that's been sealed in the blood of the Lamb. We have a promise that was approved at Calvary on the cross. And through that blood, it's been signed, sealed, and delivered. The Bible said his blood speaketh greater thing than the blood of Abel. I mean, you think about this blood of Jesus Christ. God ain't gonna let that blood go to waste. And every promise has to come through the blood. It has to come through that way of Christ. Every one of the promises of God. And if we hold on to it, Brother Al, God gonna do exactly what he said. God told me, he said, on my way up here, and last night even when I was praying and getting this message together, God told me, he said, I'm a covenant keeper. He said, I keep my word. He said, you don't have to worry about me ever breaking my word to you. He said, I'm going to keep my word to you. I mean, he spoke personally to me. He said, I'm going to keep my word to you. What I told you, just like that angel talked to you, I'm going to keep my word. What I told you, I'm going to do. The Lord told me to tell you this, Sister Davis. I'm closing. He said, don't despise the days of small beginning. Neither belittle the work that he's given you to do, even with the small group. See, sometimes we could, me and all of us as pastors and leaders, it's so easy to want the church full. And we get so caught up in that. The Bible says, strengthen that which remains. Give them what they need and give it with all your might. You know what the Lord showed me? He said, if you'll give out as much as you can to those that are here, he said, it's going to be hard for you to have enough strength to give anybody else anything. That's what the Lord showed me. He said, you got to give everything you can to those that are here. And what God will do, he'll prepare them to go out and get the others that's needed. Ain't no doubt God gonna fill this house with souls. But the souls that are here have to believe in God's faithfulness. They have to believe that God gonna do what he said. Could you bow your heads tonight? Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for the listening ear. I thank you for allowing me to, Lord, even just take my time and, Lord, minister the word. God, I always know I could do better, but what I was able to do tonight, God, I ask you to let it resonate in the heart and the minds of every one of us. God, there's a great move of God coming. You showed it to me in the hearts of your people. God, it is not about the crowd, but you show me it's individuals. God, popping up here and there. God, you're going to revive individuals. God, the deception was we looked at a whole church, but you show me individuals being revived. Revival, restoration coming to individuals, Lord. And God, we believe tonight that we're among those that you restoring and reviving and you're moving through. God, your word don't change. God, what you promised, Sister Davis, what you promised me, what you promised, Lord, the church here, Lord, you're going to do exactly what you said, Lord. I stand on every promise of God tonight. Why don't you make a proclamation and tell, Lord, I stand on your promises. I stand on your word tonight. God, every word that you've spoken, I believe it right now. In the name of Jesus, I believe it. I stand on it by faith. By faith, I stand on it right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do it, Lord. For your name's sake, do it, God. Bring it to pass. Lord, you don't say something that you don't do. You said, hath you not said it, shall you not do it? Hath you not spoken, shall you not make it good? God, you're going to make your promise good for us here. And we thank you for it tonight in Jesus' name. Put your hands together real good for the Lord tonight. Praise the Lord. We're finished. We're going to turn it back in the hands of Sister Davis tonight. God bless y'all. If you can't come back tomorrow night, bring somebody, which I believe God going to really move for us in this revival.
Well, if you have anything else to tell me, I don't know if I can take it. Thank you, Jesus. God's so good to me. Thank you, Jesus. We want to thank all of y'all for coming out tonight, and we want to just, can we leave an offering tonight? Can we take an offering tonight? Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, the Lord really spoke to us tonight. He really did. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank the Lord for the things that he spoke to me for. Yes, Lord.